what you say, but what happens if I've spent a good part of my life being a trickster, being somebody who's made mistakes over and over again, and I'm a fugitive on the run? Well, that may mean you need to wrestle a little longer, but you don't let God go until you get from God all that he has decreed for you. You let God know, I am dead serious. Jacob was a trickster. He'd lie, steal, and cheat to get what he desired. But Jacob wanted to be blessed, but his character wasn't ready to receive what God had in store. And after being dislocated, he received a new name. He got a new identity. You see, it's not too late. If you've been broken by life circumstances, you may finally be in a position to receive God's blessing. Jacob, better known as Trickster. From the time he exited his mother's womb, he was scheming, trying to figure out how to get over and how to get his way through any means possible. The biggest trick of all, stealing his brother's birthright. That was part of what the Bible calls the blessing. Every Jewish boy longed for the blessing, especially the oldest who got a double portion. You long for your father to place his hands on your head and pronounce the transfer of your inheritance. See, the blessing wasn't just a nice term. It meant divine transfer of your spiritual inheritance and all the things that come with it. Jacob wanted that. But in order to get it, he would have to connive and trick his brother out of it. He offered his brother some Quaker oats. He said, "Brother, if I fix you some oatmeal with some milk and brown sugar, would you sell me your birthright? Tired and worn out from the day's hunting." Esau foolishly sold him his birthright and therefore gave up his blessing. He had tricked his father into thinking that he was Esau with the help of his mother. And when it was discovered by Esau that Jacob had tricked him out of his blessing, he wanted to kill him. Jacob would spend a good part of his life running scams, trying to get over, believing that to have his way, he would have to manipulate it. And he wanted the blessing. When you look at our world today, there's so much pain because a lot of people have still gone unblessed. They've not received their inheritance spiritually. I get a little offended when my children regularly ask me, "What am I leaving for them?" I kind of feel like they want me to leave here quick. In fact, I remember when I first started traveling and speaking, I would bring home gifts from the airport. And they would come and they would hug me and they would say, "Oh, thank you, Daddy," and they would love on me. After a while, they wanted to know when I was traveling again. Because I had become insignificant. Only the gift mattered. What did matter in biblical times was the blessing. One of my great burdens is for the amount of unblessed boys, because no father has laid their hand on them and said, "You are significant and you have a future." The birthright meant a passing on of a glorious future. He stole the birthright. But he wanted it more than Esau wanted it. He treasured it more than Esau treasured it. And therefore, God allowed him to have it. But God knew he had to do something with this guy. For this guy to pass on the blessing of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to become a great nation, to become a mighty nation, to become God's people. This guy needed some work. He needed the work of being broken. We don't like brokenness, but it is a critical part of God's transformation process and moving us from the flaws of our yesterday to the heights of our tomorrow. He must break us. What does brokenness mean? It means to be stripped of your self-sufficiency. Brokenness means to no longer live independent from God. As Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. God's not asking you to not be you, to not be the gifts, the talents, the abilities he's given you. He just wants to be able to say, giddy up. Whoa. He wants to control the direction. Jacob didn't want his direction controlled. He wanted to scheme his way through life. And so he needed, the trickster needed to be broken. His flawed character needed to be changed. Have you ever been to a real pizzeria? I'm talking about one run by the Italian. because the Italians know how to do it from scratch. They can't give you the good stuff until the dough has been made ready to receive it. The dough has got to be reduced for you to get the good stuff put on top of it. See, everybody goes to church today talking about, I want to be blessed. They go to church wanting the good stuff, but they don't want God flattening them. They don't want to become dough. They don't want God twirling and spinning them. They want the good stuff without being made ready to receive it. God had great promises to Jacob. I give you a covenant, the covenant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But your character has got to be able to handle it. So even though you may have great promises, God sees your flaws and he's not satisfied. And he wants to change you to make you ready for what he's prepared for you. And so Jacob needed an experience, something that would give him a change of character so that God could truly bless him. That came at an event in Jacob's life. You know the event well, when he wrestled with the Lord. It's found in Genesis chapter 32. Now, what's leading up to this is Jacob's desperation, because he is fearing Esau in chapter 32, because Esau is out to kill him. Esau has been wanting him dead for years, and there are a whole lot of folk that have folk trying to hunt him down, trying to ruin him because of what you did to them when you were children. Some of us don't talk to brothers and sisters because of what they did to us when we were a child. There are people who've been molested by parents or uncles. You can't get over what they did to you, and you are consumed with seeing the great payback, because you are saying what goes around comes around. And that's what Esau was saying. I'm going to get you. You're going to die for what you did to me because you ruined my future. You stole my birthright. Even though I sold it cheaply, it was done by trickery. So Jacob has become the fugitive on the run. He wants to get out of here. He wants to try to save his life because of all the tricks he's played. But then comes verse 24. Then Jacob was left alone, and a man wrestled with him until daybreak. Out of nowhere, a man comes to assault Jacob. Jacob's already scared. He's already terrified. And so Jacob finds himself fighting for his life, in the words of Lionel Richie, all night long. Because it says he's wrestling till daybreak. So to fight all night long, this is not a skirmish. This is not some mighty battle. You fight all night long because you're fighting for your life. Yeah. He's already running for his life. Now he is fighting for his natural life. Till daybreak. Till the sun comes up. Verse 25 says, when he saw that he had not prevailed against him, he touched the socket of his thigh. When the man fighting Jacob saw he was not overcoming Jacob, he touched and dislocated his thigh. Click. Now you're already tired. You're already beaten down. And this man is going to touch your thigh and disconnect it. Now, I don't know how many folk have had a dislocated thigh, but anybody who's had a hip transplant can tell you, until you get that transplant, that's a painful situation. He is in excruciating pain. Let me explain something. When God is ready to change you, it's going to hurt for a minute. When God is ready to better you, let me change it this way. When God is ready to truly bless you, there is some pain in that process for that gain. He dislocates his thigh, touches the socket of his thigh, and Jacob's thigh was dislocated while he wrestled with the man. Because you'll do things when you're fighting for your life you can't do just every day, because your life is counting on this. And so you are fighting. He is in excruciating pain, because when God is trying to change your character, it makes me think of 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Paul made this powerful statement. He says, we were under great affliction. And he says, God brought us to the point of death so that we might learn not to trust in ourselves, but to trust in him who raises the dead. So God will put you in a bad situation, not because he's trying to hurt you, but because he's trying to change you. And he's wrestling, it says, very important, he's wrestling with a man all night long. Then he says, let me go. He's already dislocated his thigh. Let me go, for the dawn is breaking. The sun's coming up. Let me go, because the sun's coming up. Jacob says, I will not let you go until you bless me. That's a desperate man. When you're in pain and the person is ready to leave you alone, the person is trying to get away, and you won't let them get away so that they stop hurting you, that means that there is something more important than your pain. And that is his blessing. In other words, he was saying, I don't want this to end until I get out of it all I'm supposed to have.
We'll return for more of today's message right after this special announcement from Dr. Evans.
Hello, friends. This is Tony and Lois Evans with The Urban Alternative, and we want to invite you to join us on the Cruise of a Lifetime. It's the Canada-New England Cruise, June 25th through July 2nd. It's going to be a great time for us to gather with all of the friends of the Ministry of The Urban Alternative, and the exciting time we're going to have getting to know you, you getting to know us on this special, special occasion.
We're going to rest and refocus.
And recommit.
There you go. We're looking forward to seeing you. Join us. It's going to be a really special time with our family. You're going
Absolutely.
To talk about our guests.
My yeah. son, Anthony Evans, will be doing music. My daughter, Priscilla Shire, now the actress, yeah. will be also ministering. And then Martha Menizzi will be ministering in song. I'll have the opportunity to share God's word with you. So it's kind of like a great time with the Evans clan and more. And then all the other stops and the activities on the ship. It's going to be just a marvelous time. What I love about it is the theme. It's just
breathe.
We want you to relax and enjoy your time with us, our time with you. June 25th through July 2nd, 2016. Go on TonyEvans.org, and they will give you the details on how to register you and your loved ones to join us and our family on our cruise. Looking forward to you joining us.
God bless you.
We now return to today's message.
Now, when we're in pain, we want to get out quick. We want to get out early. But let me tell you something. If you're in surgery and the doctor has to cut you open, don't get up too soon. Because if you get up too soon, your healing won't take place. The stitches will not have brought everything back together. It's painful, yes, but don't get up too soon. Don't get up till you're finished. He says, I'm not going to let you go until all I'm supposed, don't leave this life without God giving you everything you're supposed to have. Don't leave this life. But you say, but what happens if I've spent a good part of my life being a trickster, being somebody who's made mistakes over and over again, and I'm a fugitive on the run? Well, that may mean you need to wrestle a little longer, but you don't let God go until you get from God all that he has decreed for you. You let God know, I am dead serious. Or as David says, as the deer pants after the water brook, so pants my soul after thee, O God. I'm going to hunt you down, God, until I get you. Because I want all that's, in spite of my mistakes, I want all that's coming to me that's been destined for me. And so he says, I'm not going to let you go. I'm going to fight through this, even in my pain. So he said to him, the man says to him, what is your name? He says, what's your name? Because in the Bible, a name is not just nomenclature. A name signifies your identity. And a name signifies your dominion. He says, tell me about your identity. Tell me your name. He said, Jacob. Jacob means trickster. In other words, tell me your name so I can hear you tell me your character. Who are you? Who are you? I'm a trickster. Let me explain something. God can't change you until you're willing to come clean with your name. See, if you're still running around here talking about you, all right? You know, you know, I'm good. You ain't ready yet. And your wrestle is not going to end. Even if you get out of that fight, there's going to be another man popping out them bushes sent by God until you're willing to say what your name is, until you're willing to come clean with God. As long as you're okay, you'll be okay without God. Until you are willing to acknowledge to God who you are, what your name is, who your true identity is, that I'm Jacob, I am a trickster, that's who I am. He said, your name shall no longer be Jacob, but Israel, for you have striven with God. Wait a minute now. He says, I'm going to change your name. But he doesn't change his name until he admits to his old name and the evil associated with it. But he says, I'm going to change your name because Israel means the one who strives with God. But wait a minute. When we started this, it says a man came out and wrestled with him all night long. But now, with the name change, he says, you ain't been wrestling with a man. You've been wrestling with God. Let me explain something. Don't mistake the hand of man for the hand of God. And don't mistake the hand of God for the hand of man. Because you think you're dealing with a person. When you're really dealing with God sending somebody to change your character. You want to know, why is that person messing with me? Because God has sent them to change your character. Why is this thing not working out? Because God has sent them. You're not wrestling with a man. He says, let me go because the sun is coming up. Why does he tell him to let me go before the sun's coming up? Because I don't want you to see who you're really dealing with. I'm going to use a situation that seems human when really it's something divine going on. Or as Hebrews 13 says, you and I deal with angels unaware. Divine messengers sent to improve our lives. Listen, when God sends pain for a purpose, it means it's not too late. Look, if the surgery is needed, that means there's still hope. When the doctor says, no need to operate, get depressed. When he tells you, a surgery can't help here, that's a bad day. As long as he tells you he gonna cut you, praise him. Because as long as he don't cut you, that means that there's some hope there. When God loves you enough to introduce some negative circumstances, he means it's not too late. I have not given up on you in spite of your old name. See, there are a lot of names out here today. Some names the devil. Yeah, because people tell us we ain't nothing but the devil. So some names are just devil. Some names are you no good. Some names are liar, cheater. Some names are just all kind of descriptions. And that's how names were used in the Bible. But he says, now that you've admitted who you are and you've wrestled with God, I am ready to change your name, that is to change your identity so that I can bring to you what I had planned all the time for you that I couldn't give to you because you were not ready to receive it. The dough was not made ready to receive it. So God will put you in an uncomfortable situation when he's ready to change your name, which means it's not too late. When I was dating my wife at 18 years old, she was not responding at the rate to which I was accustomed. Girlfriend was moving a little slow. So I took her to an amusement park in Baltimore, Maryland called Gwin Oaks Amusement Park, and they had a ride called the Wild Mouse. Now, the Wild Mouse was a roller coaster for two. It did these big dips, but it did something else. It would shoot like it was going to jump off the track and turn real quick. I said, give me two tickets. So we got on the Wild Mouse. The wilder the ride got, the closer she got. By the time the ride was over, you thought only one person got on it. Now, why did I carry her through all that pain? Because I wanted to change her name. You feel me? You feel me? You feel me? But since she wasn't responding, I had to create a situation and let her know it's not too late. We can change your name, but I got to give you some pain so that you're ready for the name change. So what God did is he put him in a bad situation, wrestled with him all night long. So that Jacob asked him and he said, please tell me your name. Now watch this. I love this. Jacob now asked him, the man he's fighting, tell me your name. I want to know who you are. You told me I've just striven with God. Who are you? Look at the guy's answer. The guy says, why is it that you ask my name? And he blessed him there. What kind of answer is that to a question? Jacob only asked you a question. He said, what's your name? You said, why are you asking me my name? You're blessed. He's gone. Let's go through that again. What's your name? Simple enough. Why are you asking me my name? You're blessed. Bam. Jacob, if you'll look at your new name, you'll know my name. Because you're now wearing my name. And I made my name your name. So you don't have to ask me my name. You just need to know your new name. Because if you know your new name, you know me. Because God wants to stamp his name on you. In the same way a woman changes her name when she's married, and so you know your name by knowing your husband's name, you know your new name by knowing God's name because he just gave you his name. And that's why those who came to Christ were called Christians. They bore his name, so that became their name. We're Christians today because we bear the name of our Savior, and it is our new identity. Oh, and now as a blessed man, 12 sons. 12 sons, 12 tribes of Israel. A whole nation. And even though there were issues with the boys, when it all ends up, the book of Hebrews, the book of faith, says at the end of his life, Hebrews 11:21, he blessed Joseph's sons. He blessed his grandson. In other words, he passed on a legacy. He passed on a future. He's got 12 boys, 12 tribes, whole nation is going to immerse. It reminds me of the story of the pygmy, the little short pygmy. He was standing victorious over rhinoceros. And the man said, how did that rhinoceros die? The pygmy said, I killed him. He said, how you kill him? He said, with my club. He said, how big is your club? He said, oh, it's about 100 people in my club. God gave Jacob a club. He gave him a legacy. All right. All right. The trickster now has a whole nation. Because it's not too late. It's not too late for God to meet you and reach you and change you and turn things around, even if he has to do it the long way. I remember one day I was flying from Raleigh to Dallas. Raleigh to Dallas. When we got to Dallas, the weather was so bad the plane couldn't land. So the plane got diverted. The plane got diverted to San Antonio. So when the plane landed in San Antonio, I saw this couple get up, get their stuff, and disembark the plane. The plane that was headed to Dallas. Out of curiosity, I said, are they asking people to get off? The stewardess said, oh no, those folk live in San Antonio. They were going to Dallas to catch another flight from Dallas to San Antonio. But the weather diverted us to San Antonio. So we wind up just bringing those folk home. If you start flying with God, you might run into some bad weather, but it's only designed to get you to the original destination as intended. So if God allows you to hit some bad weather and a storm, he's diverting you to where he intends you to be. So don't get all upset when the weather is bad. If you're wrestling with the Lord, wrestle all night long until you are blessed.
Jacob is an interesting character, isn't he? He's the deceiver. He's the trickster. And yet, God continued his covenant through this man, which means he can continue doing some very special things through you. That's why we want you to get a copy of the book, It's Not Too Late. You can get it for a gift of any amount to The Urban Alternative. Your generosity will help strengthen our ministry, but then we get to minister to you and encourage you so that you can not only be encouraged personally, but you can encourage other people who have failed, who have fallen short, and who need hope. That's why we've written the book, It's Not Too Late. So for a gift of any amount, we want to get this resource into your hands right away. You can call us at The Urban Alternative, 1-800-800-3222. Or you can log on to TonyEvans.org and get your copy of It's Not Too Late for your generous gift of any amount. Thank you for supporting us. We need your support. God bless you richly. Can't wait to be with you again next week.